Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In the concise analysis of the Rastafari movement's most foundational beliefs, Clinton Chisholm provides shocking perspectives on the origins of the movement, the misconceptions concerning Emperor Haile Selassie's names and titles, and alleged connections with King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Clinton Chisholm had worked in the resident magistrate's courts straight out of high school. He's an educator since 1979, high school, university, and seminary, and a Baptist pastor for some 14 years in Jamaica and South Florida. He was also a national radio host in Jamaica, a newspaper columnist, published 3 books to date, married for 44 years to his wife Flora, blessed with 2 adult children and a grandson. Clinton Chisholm, author of Revelations of Rastafari, is our guest on This Week in America. Reverend Dr. Chisholm, welcome to the program.
My honor and pleasure, Rick. Thanks a lot.
It is our pleasure to have you here. And let's talk about the decision to write the book. What was behind writing this book for you?
Well, I grew up in Montego Bay in western Jamaica, and I grew up with a number of Rastafari brethren under the road where I lived for a number of years. Got accustomed to them, got accustomed to hearing the claims that they made for His Imperial Majesty, for Ethiopia, as the new Zion, etc., etc. And I was wondering for years, wonder if what I've been hearing is true. And I decided, you know, around about 1970, thereabout, to do a serious in-depth investigation of the claims that I've been hearing since I was a boy, and discovered that much of it was just myth, embellishment, exaggeration, and just plain untruths.
You know, it's such a fascinating journey that you take us on, and I'm amazed at the research that you did. Talk about the research and how long it took for you to get the answers that you were looking for.
It took me about 4 years. I had the material collected, and my wife kept pressing me that I need to publish it, otherwise somebody might get a hold of my material and beat me to the draw and publish my work. There was a preceding book for which I was consulting editor called Chanting Down Babylon, the Rastafari Reader. One of the editors was a classmate of mine at seminary, and he made me consulting editor because they had 3 of them as editors and they wouldn't want to add a 4th name. So I was consulting editor. I had to read all the essays to make sure they were factually correct, you know, before that book came out. And then my wife kept pressing again and said, do your own book. So eventually in 2008, I finalized the manuscript and sent it to Ex Libris, and it was published.
You know, that's an amazing story. And as you were going through this research, did you find things that that were new to you? What did you find? Was it what you were looking for, or were there surprises as you were doing this research?
There is nothing startlingly surprising because, like I said, I grew up as a young boy hearing these claims. Yes. What was shocking is that a good 80%, you know, maybe a little bit exaggerated, of the claims were just baseless. His Imperial Majesty's names and titles were the major stumbling block for me and embarrassment for Rastas when I put it in the public sphere, that his names and titles were confused or misunderstood, you know, because the movement is called Rastafari, using Ras as his title and Tafari as his family. His family first name. But in 1930, the movement, Rastafari movement, started in 1930 in Jamaica. You could not call the movement Rastafari because His Imperial Majesty was not Ras at that time. He was already Negus, which is a court rank above Ras. Ras is a military title, just meaning head of an army.
The book is called Revelations on Rastafari, and that's spelled R-A-S.
And two separate words. Ras is a title.
Yes.
Tafari is his first name.
Yes, and that's R-A-S, and then T-A-F-A-R-I, by our guest on the program, Clinton Chisholm. That's C-H-I-S-H-O-L-M. You'll find the book at Amazon. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What are some of the high points of the book that you would like to call to people's attention that are very important points?
It may be important for us, Rick, to just go back to the names and titles. I just read the opening paragraph of chapter 2. I mention how we got the different names. The name Haile Selassie, which means might of the Trinity, was the Christian baptismal name given to the infant Kafarai Makonnen, son of Ras Makonnen. As the son of a nobleman, he was Lige Ezlai J. Kafarai Makonnen from 1892 to 1905. He became a general in 1905 and so became Dejaz Mac, D-E-J-A-Z. I think Americans call it Z-M-A-C-A-H. That's a general. Until 1916, when his military title changed to Ras, head of an army. He was Ras Kafarai Makonnen until 1928. From 1928 to 1930, he held the court rank of Negus, N-E-G-U-S, or King. And at his coronation, he earned the Supreme Court rank, Negusa Nagast, King of the Kings of Ethiopia, and opted for his baptismal name as his throne name. So he was Haile Selassie I.
The book is Revelation on Ras Tafari. That's R-A-S-T-A-F-A-R-I. The author, Clinton Chisholm, is with us on the program. Who is the target audience? Who have you designed this book for?
I designed it primarily initially for Christians who want to share, to witness, as we say in Christianity, to witness to Rastas and Rastafari sympathizers, to get them factual information, to hold friendly, respectful dialogue with Rastafari brethren and sistren and others who are sympathetic to the movement. But then for the world in general, for people who have heard about the movement, are minded to find out more, my book is the only book, though I may say it so myself, that dares to challenge the fundamental belief systems of the movement. Others will just deal with the history, you know, behind the movement or originated in Jamaica, the founders, etc. My book deals with the fundamental truth claims.
How relevant is your book today, do you think?
Well, it is still relevant. I have challenged Rastafari to prove me wrong factually or logically in anything at all in the book. Nobody, to the best of my knowledge, has taken up the challenge.
Which leads me, as I'm reading this and reading about the book, and the it's been called explosive. So what kind of interactions are you getting from members of the Rastafari movement about the book? What's their feedback, their pushback been?
Their pushback has been, well, you know, I'm taking things out of context. So I say, show me factually, particularly, the book is available. Show me anything. I've had a dialogue with a friend of mine. He's Rastafari. We have respectful relationships. We were on national television on the issue when the book came out. Other Rastafari brethren have come on as well. And for instance, they would say the general greeting that they have is greetings in the name of His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie I, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. So I challenged one on national TV and I said, look, my friend, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah was never an imperial title from the history of Ethiopia when it became a Christian empire in the 4th century to the time of His Imperial Majesty. It was never a title of the emperor. By mistaken translations from the original language Amharic in Ethiopia through European languages, the title of the designation of the empire became a title of the emperor. People don't know that background, you know, but
yes.
They would say, well, he's the only person who has had all of those titles. Well, technically not true. All emperors of Ethiopia, once they're on the throne officially, they are called King of the Kings of Ethiopia because they're competing kings, or there were competing kings in Ethiopia up to the time of when the monarchy existed. And they are the emperor is called King of the Kings of Ethiopia. And the title, Conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah, is an epithet for the empire as a Christian empire. The oldest Christian empire in history is Ethiopia.
Talk about the background. I mentioned this in the beginning. Talk about your background, Baptist pastor for 14 years in Jamaica and South Florida. How important was that, your knowledge of biblical language, as you were doing the research?
Well, I majored in the biblical languages at the master's level, and I'm a trained philosopher, so I'm fussy about details.
Yes.
And that helped me by understanding the biblical languages. I could tell people, look, when you see the word Ethiopia in the Bible or in ancient writers like Herodotus or Homer or any ancient writer in BC times, the term Ethiopia was geographically imprecise. Most times, even in the Bible, it's used as a description of all of Africa, especially south of Egypt. So it's not the same landmass that we now call Ethiopia. When you see Kush is the Hebrew term that is translated as Ethiopia in the Greek version of the Old Testament, it has to do with the area generally where we now call it Sudan. So the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts was not a person from modern landmass that we now call Ethiopia. He was a Sudanese official, to use modern geographical terms. So all of that is new to many people, but when you're familiar with the biblical languages, you can pick up those little details which the average person would miss.
What do you feel the benefits of the book are? And I'm thinking, boy, this is a great foundation for someone who wants to study this. What are the benefits of the book?
If a person is studying comparative religions and wants to find out the details about the movement, then that is where the book is valuable. If you're a truth seeker, as opposed to a person who just believes in hype and sound bites, then the book might not interest you at all. But if you want to distinguish facts from fiction, then the book is very valuable for sociologists, people studying comparative religions, or just people who are generally interested in religious phenomena generally.
What do you hope the takeaway is as people read the book, Revelations on Ras Tafari? What do you hope the takeaway is for the average reader?
One thing I hope they will take away is the truth, which Rastafari believed that His Imperial Majesty was God for them. But when His Imperial Majesty came to Jamaica in 1966, I was a youngster in high school and I was on parade in the cadets when he came to my hometown, Montego Bay. He declared to them that he's not God. And they said, because he says he's not God, he's humble, you know, and so because of his humility, they still continue to believe. But he sent a priest from the Ethiopian Orthodox Church in Ethiopia to come and set up a branch of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church in Jamaica in 1970. And he was interviewed on national television by my late friend Ian Boyne, a veteran journalist. And it's important in the same year, Rick, when His Imperial Majesty visited Jamaica, he opened the World Congress on Evangelism in Berlin. And I'm going to read for you a brief quotation that he shared with the audience. He says, quote, "The love shown in Christ by our God to mankind should constrain all of us who are followers and disciples of Christ to do all in our power to see to it that the message of salvation is carried to those of our fellows for whom Christ our Savior was sacrificed, but who have not had the benefit of hearing the good news. Christians, let us arise and labor to lead our brothers and sisters to our Savior Jesus Christ, who only can give life in its fullest sense," end quote. This is documented in One Race, One Gospel, One Task, Volume 1, 1967, and it was authored by Carl Henry and Stanley Mooneyhan, available in print. So it's a very important quotation. If you read the speeches of His Imperial Majesty, you realize he was deflecting from himself as anybody's superior, except as the monarch in Ethiopia and the defender of the Christian faith, to God, whom he worshipped and to whom he prayed regularly, asking for grace and mercy and long life to complete and to fulfill his mission as a representative of the Christian faith in his own country.
You've said that you will no doubt lose friends and irritate people for what you've done in this. How has that worked out? Because you are really shaking the foundational belief of a number of people. What kind of feedback or response are you getting?
Well, the interesting thing, the most vocal Rastafari that I have argued with in Jamaica and discussed is Muta Baruka. We have a respectful regard for one another. We disagree strongly on theological issues, but we are friends. And my late friend in Barbados, Ikel Tafari, I interviewed him before the book, and he shared some things that he held, and he says, please don't put aspects of this in the book. And I honored that. It's still private, but we shared ideas, and he was such a diehard Rastafari that because of his dreadlocks and where his ears in dreadlocks, not a hairstyle for him, a belief statement that he's a Nazirite and his locks cannot be cut. And he says, Clinton, because of my deep belief that the Nazirite's locks cannot be cut, I avoid the fruit of the vine. And he says, not just grape juice, not just wine, but he doesn't eat pumpkin because it's from the vine as well. I said, Ikel, that's taking a joke a bit far. But he says, well, that's just my belief. So I've had a friendly, fraternal relationship with Rastafari because they know I'm just seeking the truth. I'm not trying to, as a Rastafari, I would say, blood anybody. I'm not dissing you. We respectfully disagree, but you have a right to propound your faith statements, and I have a right to challenge them, just like I have to be welcoming of people who challenge the views that I hold as a conservative Christian. I disagree with them, but I respect their right to challenge my truth claims as well.
What are you working on now? What other books are you working on?
Well, my latest book came out 2019. It's called A Controversial Clergyman, where a collection of my newspaper articles, very radical, provocative. I don't take the traditional view on something, so I tell people, don't label me because I'm a conservative Christian. Ask me what I believe on any particular issue. Check my writings, and then you can designate me as foolish or wise, but I'm a truth seeker as well.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you with us on the program, Reverend Dr. Clinton Chisholm. That's C-H-I-S-H-O-L-M.
Coincidentally, yes. One of your first black congresswomen, Shirley Chisholm, was a distant relative of mine.
You know, that was my first thought as I'm reading that name. It's like Chisholm, just like Shirley Chisholm. What a remarkable
she
legacy.
She married a member of the family donkeys years ago.
What a remarkable legacy that was not particularly common at that time, and she really stood out and mm-hmm. did an amazing job. I'm glad to hear that. Like I said, that was the first thing that came to mind as I read that name. The book is Revelations on Rastafari. That's R-A-S. Separate word, T-A-F-A-R-I. It's been called an indispensable book for every intellectual and serious student of Rastafari, Caribbean Studies, Caribbean History, Sociology, and Theology. You'll find the book available at Amazon. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I know, Reverend Dr. Chisholm, that you've worked with Reader's Magnet on getting the book out there. How has that experience, what's that been like for you?
It was quite interesting when they approached me, you know, about it. And I'm thankful to them for giving a little bit more publicity, not a little, much more publicity through this dialogue today and also on their website for the book. Because it has been lying dormant in a sense, you know, lacking in sales that it really deserves. But if people don't know that a thing exists, they can't know that the value that it is to them. But now hopefully this will increase the book's market reach. And I would that people who are teaching comparative religion, sociology, or theology would take a look at the book for what it may be worth to a course that they are now teaching as a required or recommended textbook for their students.
Well, you'll find the book at Amazon.com. You can link on by going to our website, as I mentioned, thisweekinamerica.us, Revelations on Rastafari, T-A-F-A-R-I. RAS, R-A-S, two separate words. Book available at Amazon. We'll have it again on our website. You can find it there by Clinton Chisholm, Reverend Dr. Clinton Chisholm, our guest on the program. Sir, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Congratulations on getting the word out there and what you're doing. Hopefully we'll be able to stay in touch and do a follow-up program. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program today.
My pleasure and honor, Rick. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.